Chapter 36. We'd barely finished the preparations when the Hobgoblin King's horn sounded across the land. As I looked up from my work beside the dozen Hobgoblin archers I'd summoned to line the walls I'd erected, I couldn't help but smile. Those walls had very nearly been the end of me, but I'd somehow managed it, even if I'd made all the town musicians play for like 20 hours a day for the last 3 days. To be fair, they were much better now, and when they'd complained about not knowing that many songs, I may have taught them a few of my favorites. Still, nothing could prepare me for the sight that approached us from the west, because it wasn't all hobgoblins. No, in addition to what had to be hundreds of well-armed hobgoblins, there were 16 forest giants. While they, thankfully, weren't armored, each one stood about 20 feet tall and carried uprooted trees in their massive hands. There was also a whole host of dire wolves and dire bears, too, most of which were being ridden by armor-clad hobgoblin knights with giant lances. From the look of things, those with dire bear mounts appeared to be significantly more powerful than their dire wolf-riding counterparts because their names were orange as opposed to yellow, which meant that they were all within a level or two of me. And since I was level 28, I was guessing that they were all between level 30 and 32. What worried me wasn't all of that. It was the massive golden throne that appeared behind the army. It was where the Hobgoblin King, no doubt, sat, though I couldn't see him because he was shrouded from view by an orange curtain with a massive silver skull stitched into its center. In fact, the entire throne was covered from head to toe in bejeweled silver skulls, so it sort of reminded me of those weird sugar skulls I'd seen girls collect. The throne was so massive that despite being on wheels, the entire thing was being towed by a team of four black-as-night scorpions that were each being ridden by golden-armored, skull-covered elite hobgoblin knights. I swallowed a bit at that, because each knight's name was red. They were all significantly higher than me. As my gaze flicked from them to the scorpions, I found that their names, Elite Giant Knight Scorpion, were also a dreadful shade of scarlet. That wasn't good, because it meant that whoever sat upon that throne was no doubt even higher than them. Assuming, of course, I'd even get to fight them, because as more and more armed hobgoblins poured out onto the battlefield, I realized that Jane had been correct. This town had stood no chance of stopping the Hobgoblin King's assault. In fact, even with me here, it was likely we'd get steamrolled, even with the few handfuls of troops the local duke had supplied earlier today. Still, I was glad for them, as it would make defending the place a fair bit easier. "What do you wish to do, Master?" Queenie said, as she chewed thoughtfully on a piece of lime-green taffy. She stood to my left, and when I turned to look at her, I saw her right hand clenched around the dagger of the Ant Queen, while her left hand held a large sack over one shoulder. "We need to draw them into the main field between the tree line and the walls," I said. Already, I could see them stopped on the edge of the battlefield, no doubt because they hadn't expected to see the massive stone walls, but I hoped that the army would attack us soon.
"Perhaps we should just start firing at them," Jane asked from my right, and I saw that the slime girl had used her body to create a sort of telescope with the slime around her left eye. "I have no doubt many of the Duke's archers can make shots from here."
"No," I shook my head. "That will just make them either bunker down where they are or move back. And we need them to come into our killing field." I was about to say more when what sounded like a trumpet blast erupted from the Hobgoblin King's army. I turned toward the sound to find a lone hobgoblin with a wolf skull on its head and dressed in brightly dyed furs marching toward the gate. In one hand, he held a horn that looked like it had come from a ridiculously large animal, and in the other, he held a rolled piece of parchment.
"The Herald," Jane said,
clearly catching my look of confusion.
"The Hobgoblin King must want to parley."
"No doubt he wishes us to surrender," I said, and at my words Queenie nodded.
"He probably wants to keep the wealth for himself and keep as much of the infrastructure intact while ensuring the minimal loss to his men. Either way, as the Adventurers Guild representative, I should go meet the Herald,"
Jane said. And as she spoke, her face turned into a stony mask of calm serenity that might have made me shiver if I'd not known her better.
"I think we should all go,"
I said, and without waiting for a response, I turned to make my way down the walls. Queenie followed quickly after me with her large sack slung over one shoulder. I'm sure Jane said something about it, but I was already halfway down the wall by the time she caught up to us.
"You do not have to go,"
she said, her eyes full of worry.
"It could be a trap meant to kill us."
"It isn't," I said, and I wasn't sure why I was so certain the Herald wouldn't attack us outright, and even if he did, his name was White, so I was sure I could kill him with ease.
"They may have snipers in the forest we cannot see who will shoot you dead,"
Jane insisted.
"They cannot hurt me because I am made of slime. You, on the other hand." "Master is strong and wise," Queenie growled. "If he says he wishes to go, it will be so."
She glared at Jane.
"Now, act your rank and do as Master says so he can save your town."
Jane wisely just nodded to the Ant Queen as we hit the bottom of the walls, where I found Morleone, Jay, and all the town's musicians, jugglers, and other assorted performers standing in the small square where I'd asked them to assemble. "Morleone, can you and your associates lay out a beat as we talk with the Herald?" I asked, and though the goblin bard swallowed hard with fear, he gave me a nod. "We will play until we can no longer gasp even a single breath," he said, and then smacked a fist to his chest. "For we are bards, and we must play until the end." Jay gave me a quick thumbs up before unslinging his ukulele and strumming a tune that sent a wave of magic into the air. The others soon followed, and as I heard their sound rise up into the air, I couldn't help but feel empowered by it both magically and on another more nuanced level. For the song they played was one of hope and courage, but most of all, it was a song of defiance. Satisfied, I made my way to the giant stone gates I'd hewn from the very rock that my golems had torn from the earth. With a gesture and a bit of musical magic, I used my power to open them enough for my procession to step out. The Herald was even uglier up close, because his face and neck were covered with grotesque scars that looked like they had been done on purpose. They created detailed scenes that should not have been etched into one's skin.
"It's a bold move to tattoo a man getting his head lopped off on your cheek," I said as I nodded to the man. "Is it supposed to scare me off? Because if it is, well, it's not paying off, sorry to say."
The hobgoblin's beady orange eyes narrowed into slits before he smacked his horn onto the dirt. "You will not be so bold once the King of Kings has ripped your tongue from your skull and used it to lick his ass." The Herald gave me a grin that revealed his gold-capped teeth.
Which is precisely what will happen if you do not throw open your doors and surrender everything down to the last stick of straw in your pathetic little settlement to him. Then, if your town's tribute suits him, you will be given the glorious option of serving him for as long as you can draw breath. He smiled evilly. And if you should refuse, we will raze your village to the ground so that not even a single stone of it will remain. His leering gaze fell on Queenie then. Your women will be raped and your men slaughtered. As for your children, you may ask. He licked his lips. We will roast them over a spit and have ourselves a feast. He rubbed his belly. For raiding works up a powerful hunger for flesh. Does that speech actually work? I asked with a quirked eyebrow. I mean, you're really trying to sell it, but I mean, how can I possibly agree to just let you have everything? I shook my head as I took a step toward him. Successful bargains usually have both sides getting what they want, and yours is particularly one-sided. You have nothing with which to bargain because we are strong and will take what is ours. The herald spread his hands wide. This all belongs to us, even if you do not realize it yet, because we are strong. And you are weak beyond words. Is that so? I asked, and then snapped my fingers. Queenie struck out in a flash, driving her dagger to the hilt in the herald's belly before tearing it violently sideways and spilling his entrails across his feet like so much bloody jump rope. Then he fell to his knees, eyes wide in shock. He tried to speak, but all that happened was blood burbled up his lips. It probably goes without saying, I said, as I gently tucked his insides back inside him before taking his bloody, spasming hands and using them to cover his wound. But we refuse. Then I whipped out my dick and pissed on him. When I was fully relieved, I glanced at Queenie. We will wait for a better offer. With that, Queenie opened the sack she'd been carrying and dumped the desecrated heads of all the hobgoblins we had killed during the siege onto the still dying herald. With that, I picked up the horn that the herald had dropped and snapped it over my knee. Admittedly, I had to infuse a touch more aura into the action to get the job done in one blow than I'd expected, but everything I'd done had the desired effect. As we turned on our heel, the herald finally found his voice. Only it wasn't his voice. No, it was deeper and throatier. You have settled your deaths. I turned back toward the herald and found that his eyes were now black as pitch, and what's more, his face had gone totally slack. So are you the king or another lackey? I raised an eyebrow, because I have no time for lackeys. Oh, it is me, adventurer. And do not worry. Your boldness has guaranteed a violent and long-lasting death for everyone here. He probably would have said more, but I took the opportunity to grab hold of the musical magic coming from just beyond the town's gates and turn it into my own. With a snap of my fingers, I turned the herald into a solid block of ice and then shattered it into a million scintillating shards.